The reading this morning is from Mark 16, page 1023 of the Church Bibles. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Monica, thank you. The other day we might say is the most important day in all history is when chocolate was invented. This is my own, actually, thank you, Titus. This is my second Easter egg. It's my only my second one. I am going to give an opportunity for it to be won in just a minute. So pay attention. It's a pretty hard question I'm going to ask because I really don't want to give up my Lint Easter bunny. But let's join the story. We join the story in that first Easter Sunday with three women, Mary and Mary and Salome. And it doesn't seem like a big day to those three women as they get up really, really early, much too early. Like you only get up that early if you're going on holiday. That's how early it is. Much too early. It doesn't seem like a big day to them as they kind of rub their eyes and as they yawn, as they peer through the kind of early morning gloom. It's not a big day. No, it's a really sad day. It's a really sad day because their friend has been buried in a tomb and he's dead. And like they would do back in those days, 2,000 years ago, they're going off to anoint the body. It's a really sad day for Mary and Mary and Salome. And it's a really worrying day too, because tombs back then, places that people would be buried, would have a big stone rolled over the grave so that no one could get in. They're really worried because there's just the three of them and they don't know who's going to roll the stone away for them. It's a sad day and it's a really worrying day. Now we're going to come back there, but I just want us to stop, particularly if you're laser age or older, and just have a think about how weird it is that Mark wrote a gospel which included three women to be the first witnesses of the empty tomb. Now we take it for granted that of course women would be three witnesses in the at the empty tomb, but you need to understand just how revolutionary that was. Because 2,000 years ago, women's testimony in court, the place you go to decide what the truth is, wouldn't be admitted. If a woman said something happened, people wouldn't believe her because she was a woman. It was a really bad society in that way. And so if you want your account of an empty tomb and a risen king to be taken seriously in the Roman world 2,000 years ago, what don't you do? You don't put women at the tomb. That would be a very stupid thing to do because people will read the account and they'll get to the end of it and they'll go, "Mark, are you having a laugh? Women? Of course it's not true. Silly old wives' tales. It's a nonsense." Why would Mark put women there if he was making it up? He never would. The only reason to have women there, given how it would be understood, not now, thank God, but given how it was understood back then, the only reason to put women there is because it really happened. Three women, Mary and Mary and Salome, did go very early on a Sunday morning to a tomb. And what did they find? Well, let's go back to the women. Again, three women, very confused and very sad, and they wander up towards the grave, but they see something very odd because the stone they were so worried about is rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, which is very strange. And then what they do is they step inside and they find a young man sitting there, chilling out. Now, it's a young man, so I think I qualify, and he was wearing white. And this, I think, is white. Now, here's the chance to win some chocolate.
Can anyone tell me what this is called? You have to be under 10 to start with. Anyone under 10 tell me what this is called? Anyone know? Okay, adults, you can help anyone under 10. Let's see how good you are at Church of England's jargon. No one knows. This is brilliant. Anyone, any age?
Owl.
No, it's not an owl, Monica. Very good try. Surplus. Yeah, who got that? Very good job, Angie. Now, Angie, you can have this yourself, or you can give it to someone under 10.
I will gift it.
Now, the young man probably wasn't wearing a Church of England surplice. This is what I might be wearing if I was in a different church. Every Sunday, if you believe it. He wasn't wearing a surplice, but he was dressed all in white. A young man sitting in the tomb, chilling out. And the three men, they sort of peer in. What's going on here? And they see this young man sitting there all in white. And he says to them, what are you looking for? Are you looking for Jesus? And they're like, yeah, I mean, this is his grave, right? This is where sadly dead people stay. And he says, he is not here. He has risen. Look, this is where he was lying when he died. But he's not here anymore. See the place where they laid him? And that moment, the biggest moment in all of human history, changes all of our days in every single way. So those words from the chorus tell us why Jesus' resurrection, that first Easter Sunday, is the biggest day in all of history. Jesus, he has risen. Death is not the end. Death is not the end. For followers of Jesus, death now is a little bit like what happens to your garden come wintertime. Now, does anyone know what happens to the garden come wintertime? Anyone's a competent gardener? Monica. Monica's a competent gardener. Monica, tell us. Everything seems to die. So, let's get a picture up of our tree. Now, this is a tree which, I confess, Frankie and myself are not what you might call competent gardeners. And this tree was sitting in a corner of the garden, very kindly given to us by John and Roz as they left the church. And come wintertime, all the leaves disappeared. And I knew that's sort of what happened often to trees, but I wasn't sure that the leaves would come back again come springtime. But what's happened? Can you see? The leaves are back. Because what happens to the garden in winter is it seems to die, but then new life comes again in the spring. Every follower of Jesus knows that's what death is like. We seem to die, but then new life comes in the spring. Death is not the end. And that changes absolutely everything. But there's another reason that everything changes, that Jesus' day is the biggest day in history. I don't know if you've ever had your parents say to you, or your loved ones say to you, I told you so. Anyone ever say that to you? I used to love crossing over streams when I was young. And my mum would say to me, in fact, I remember one particular time. It was October, the stream was high, it was running water, we were walking in Snowdonia, and she said to me, Joel, don't cross the stream on the stones, you'll slip and you'll be sodden wet walking boots to walk home and you'll be miserable. And I thought to her, has she not seen me? Has she not seen my agility, my balance like a gazelle? This is not going to be a problem. So there I went, kind of step. It was almost like the stones had been built to be crossed. Step, slip, splash. And she was absolutely right. My shoes completely sodden, and a miserable 11-year-old Joel for the walk home. The resurrection is a little bit like Jesus's I told you so. If you've got your Bible still open, you can have a look. Have a look at verse 7. This is the young man talking to the women. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Just as he told you. The resurrection is Jesus saying, I really am who I claim to be. I really do what I says I do. I really can be trusted, and I really should be obeyed. which gives the women a choice. Are they going to do that? Let's see what happens in verse 8. Do you listen along? Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They're told to go and tell the disciples, but instead they say nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And Mark finishes his account right here. And I think he does it for this very reason, so that we'd all have a choice as well. What will we do with the biggest day in history? Will the biggest day in history change my everyday in every way? There's lots of reasons why we might be a little bit like the women. We might think to ourselves and try and ask ourselves the question, well, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Because I've never seen Jesus risen from the dead. In that sense, we're just like the women, right? Who hadn't seen Jesus at this point. Or we might think to ourselves, and it might be buzzing around in our heads, but Jesus being risen from the dead, that being the biggest day in history, that needs to change everything for me. And as you get older, you'll realize more and more just how much has to change if Jesus really is risen, if he really is the king of everything. Or we might be scared, like the women were, because the idea that living for Jesus and saying that Jesus is alive is a really scary thing. What will people think? But Jesus really is risen. Hallelujah. That first Easter Sunday really is the biggest day in all of history. And our lives, in every single way, should look like it. Let's pray. Jesus, we praise you so much that you are risen, that you really are King and Lord and Saviour. You really can be trusted and should be obeyed. Help us, we pray, to consider our response, what we will do with the biggest day in history. Might it change our everyday? In Jesus' name, amen.